The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Okay, we'll talk to Bill Bender shortly about the winners and losers in the portal. We will continue with your phone calls as well, 855-242-7285. That is the phone number. A number of guests already. Chris Del Conte, who is considered among the top athletic directors in the country, he is at the University of Texas, stepped in it the other day on a tour. It was actually Wednesday. He was on a tour with the basketball and football coach at Texas. And somehow it came up about the Longhorn Network, which has been a bone of contention by a lot of people. One reason A&M used to get out of the Big 12, as well as Missouri. And Del Conte said, the Longhorn Network has been great for us, but we'll be moving over to the SEC Network when we make that move. He also, in a shot at his own network, which is a joint operation between ESPN and the University of Texas, he said, you can only watch the 69 championship game so many times, referencing that the University of Texas has only had one national championship in the last 53 years. Let's get back to the calls here and check in with Chip, who is up next. How are you, Chip? Good afternoon.
I'm doing pretty good, Paul. Tell me, Paul, do you like money?
I think most people do, yes.
Well, do you have friends in this business that like lots of money?
Of course.
Well, I got a plan that is going to preserve the CFP as it is and get rid of all contention surrounding who gets in, so it'll remain the way it is now, and everyone will love it. You ready to hear it?
I am on, what's the cliche, pins and needles.
All right, here it goes. So every school right now gets one bye week, right?
And usually, so, yes.
So under this plan, there will now be two bye weeks. Now, you have the regular one where every team, they get it different weeks as far as where everyone's playing some week. It's just this team's off or that team's off. But the second bye week, it will be for everyone. Everyone is off. There are no games. Regular games, that is. And this week, and this will be a 13th week. Well, I mean, I guess a 14th of a regular season. What will happen during this week is teams can elect to play an NFL team. And they aren't required to, but they can if they want to. It's totally voluntary. But the beauty of it is...
Let me interrupt you before you just completely run your wagon into the ditch here. Number one, if you know anything about the way the sport is operated... you've got two entities here, the NFL and college football, which both have individual television contracts. And these television contracts are structured that you build your season up to a crescendo. And at whatever point you want to do this, you're not going to stop and have a game, especially a game between college and pros. That would never, ever be allowed, nor would anyone want that.
Well, I think fans would want it.
No, they wouldn't.
It creates so much money.
If you're Alabama on the 13th week of the season, and you just beat Auburn and you're about to play Georgia in the SEC championship game, do you want to play the Green Bay Packers?
No, this would be like week four, week three, or
doesn't
something.
Matter. Do you have any earthly idea the difference between the NFL player and the college player in mass? I'm not talking about X number of players being able to make the transition, but on any given football, and besides, you only have 32 NFL teams, so who's
well,
gonna
not everyone's going to want to play. You see, it's only going to be the one.
The answer is no one is going to want to play, because if you're an elite team, you're the seventh or eighth best team in the country. Do you really want to take the risk of injury? It's by the way. I mean, it's such a non-starter that I can't believe I'm trying to reason with you.
Well, look at it this way. What if Alabama, they go undefeated.
I think I once asked Danny Sheridan to handicap Alabama a couple of years ago when everyone thought they were the best team of all time, and he said they'd be a minimum three touchdown favorite against the worst NFL team. That's the best versus the worst. So how would you like to see the best versus the best of the NFL versus a middling college football team? You'd have a 40 point spread.
Well, it'd be interesting because
Nothing interesting about it because. I'm glad you thought something up, but why don't you think of something that might actually happen versus something that's not going to happen?
Well, we'll see. Wait a couple years.
We're not going to see because we're never going to see that. Let me pose this question: Is there anyone out there that could come up with something more ridiculous than that? I'm going to go ahead and say no, so you don't need to call about that. But I don't think people understand how difficult it is for a college team to, in terms of speed, in terms of strength, to line up. Now, Alabama or Georgia. Georgia last year. Let's pick Alabama 2 years ago, Georgia this most recent year, and LSU in 19. Those are three of the best teams we've seen in a long time. They would all be 3 to 4 touchdown underdogs. And that Georgia defense last year is as good as it gets, but it's still man for man and depth going to have a difficult time against the NFL. The personnel is just so different. And I know that we as college fans, you know, want to think that our teams are capable of anything, but they're not. There is a difference. Some schools, I'm not saying that you get the Georgia Bulldogs versus the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, and who's to say it wouldn't have been an interesting game? Maybe it would, but that's not what the guy was suggesting. There used to be, and this is going back probably 60 years, maybe a little bit less, there was a college all-star game every year at Soldier Field in Chicago. And it pit the best players in college football against usually the NFC champion. I think this was over by the time we got to the Super Bowl in the mid to late 60s. And yeah, I really don't remember. I think the college team may have won every once in a while. But you know, you were talking about the beginning of training camp too, and most NFL teams were not playing all their starters, and this was the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme of college football. So I didn't mean to just shut the guy down, but it needed to be shut down. I mean, we have a lot of ridiculous things that happen here on the program, but we do have to monitor when we get a caller from outer space. Let's continue with more phone calls. You want to give us a ring, we'll do it. We'll do it in a second. 855-242-7285, and some more guests to come. We'll play the tape of Saban in a minute as well, what he said yesterday about allegations of tampering by Louisville. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great to have all of you here. A couple of guests are about to join us. Let's grab some more phone calls here. And Krista is up next. Krista, good afternoon to you. Krista, are you there?
Hey, how
are
you doing, Paul?
Yeah, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, what do you think about Alabama getting Jordan Addison? Do you think he's got a good chance? Do we think we got a good chance?
My friends in Alabama aren't all that optimistic. I don't know individually. For those who don't know what we're talking about, Jordan Addison is the Biletnikoff winner, best wide receiver in the country for Pittsburgh. He has already he's been working out with Bryce Young, which is one reason why some people think Alabama may have an advantage. He has talked to USC, Texas, Alabama, Georgia. I think he's looking at Florida as well. If he's looking for the best quarterback, it's Bryce Young. Certainly Caleb Williams wouldn't be bad either. I'm not sure why he'd gamble on another quarterback who's somewhat unproven like Texas has. But that my gut feeling is he's not going to Alabama. That's just an opinion.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting question, though. We'll ask our next. Mobile is up next. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. This is Randy. I wanted to comment on a few callers ago, the guy from Florida, about Billy Napier. I'm an Alabama fan, but I was in Lafayette the weekend when he announced he was taking the Florida job. And yes. Every place you went in Lafayette, people were sad that he was leaving. They weren't mad at him. They weren't fussing. They were sad that he was going. So must be something special about him.
Yeah, I think there is something special. And what's interesting about Billy Napier, and some of us wondered about it, but he could have left there a long time ago. He's had opportunities, and they were getting to be good opportunities. It's been reported that he could have gone to Auburn and a couple of other places, but he was waiting for the right place, and his name came up for South Carolina. And I just think he knew he'd have the opportunities, but he wanted the right place. And you know, you could argue that Florida may not be the right place. And I know what the guy said a minute ago, Randy, but Florida has not – if you go back over the last 20 years since Spurrier left, Florida has Urban Meyer, and that's it.
Yeah. But anyway, just
and I pose that question because I get it. The guy called in and said he's special. He's going to be great. I mean, he is. He looks special. So did Dan Mullen. So did McElwain. I remember the day McElwain was hired there. What were we saying? I was leading the here, one of Saban's best assistants. What are we saying now? Billy Napier, one of Saban's best assistants. So, you know, my question is Billy Napier the answer, or is the University of Florida the Bermuda Triangle of coaches? I mean, who really thought Dan Mullen was not going? I mean, who thought Dan Mullen was going to fail there? And you could argue that he just narrowly failed. What got Dan Mullen in trouble? Dan Mullen. He's one of the worst losers I've ever seen in college football. The guy couldn't lose. He just cracked up. He melted in front of you under pressure, and that's not good. He was a great offensive mind. He was a good coach overall. He had a pretty until the just total meltdown at the end. He had a really good record, but he couldn't handle criticism. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on Sankey's comments on Monday. Where he said, you know, they can stay at four, but it's not healthy for football, for college football. I don't know where he keeps talking about what's healthy for college football after he cherry picked the two best teams from the Big 12 and decimated it. I don't get that. It doesn't sound to me like he's concerned about the health of college football.
Well, listen, it's like debate class in the 11th grade. You can take any side you want here, but let me ask you a question. If you're sitting there about a year ago in Birmingham at Greg Sankey's office and you get a call and it's a couple of lawyers who say, we would like you to talk to the presidents of Oklahoma and Texas about them coming into the SEC, what would your answer be to them?
I think if I was Sankey and I keep preaching about the health of college football.
Don't give me a speech. Just answer my question. What would you say? Would you say, I want to talk to them, or screw them, let them go to the Big Ten or the ACC?
you know, that's a, I'm not in that position. I'm
well,
in
a, no, you're giving me a bogus position. Answer here. The answer is yes, I'll talk to them because you're in a competitive environment. And all you're doing is obfuscating because you want to come after Sankey and blame him for the demise of the Big 12.
But
it's
but
not
wait,
his fault.
They
didn't want to be there. And you know why they didn't want to be there? Because it was a terrible league. They couldn't get a new television contract, and the league was crumbling. So they said, you know what? Let's bail out. If you had told me a year ago that Texas would have ended up in the SEC, I would have bet everything I had. Now, Oklahoma's a different story. Oklahoma's been sniffing around the SEC for about 6 or 7 years. In fact, there were back-channel conversations a couple of years ago between Oklahoma
and
the
SEC. But what's good for college football is not to let that happen.
Greg Sankey's job is not to run college football. His job is to run the SEC. He can't be concerned about...
He's doing good.
Now he's a leader in the sport, but he's also the committee. He's paid $2 million a year to make sure the SEC is the best.
No, he's incredible. He's doing it incredibly well. But I think college football needs to change. The NFL does a draft for a reason, and the worst team in the league gets the first pick. College football is a holy mess.
I agree with you. Don't misunderstand. I mean, if you've ever listened to this show, you know I agree. And by the way, we haven't seen the worst of it yet. I mean, there is a nuclear holocaust coming to college football. You're going to see teams that can't win a game. But that's not my problem, and it's not Greg Sankey's problem.
No, you're right. That's why there's an alliance. And that's why it's going to be strong
for
a while.
You tell me, Elliot, what that alliance has accomplished right now, other than blowing up the college football playoff, which is going to affect schools in the ACC and Pac-12 in particular. The Big Ten could probably get around it, but not those schools.
They can.
And I
don't
know
that.
The Pac-12 is laughable. The ACC is sinking right now. That's pretty obvious. Anyway, appreciate the call. It's not like I haven't heard that line about Sankey before. And I just asked the question because I think that's exactly where Greg Sankey was a year ago. I don't think he was that eager for expansion. I think we have asked that question of Greg Sankey every year. Whenever we've been in Destin for the SEC meetings, we've said, "What about expansion?" And he has said, "We're not interested right now." And the fact of the matter is, they were not interested in expansion. They knew that down the road it was coming, because anyone who follows college sports knew the Big 12 was in trouble. The Big 12 went to its partners, which were Fox and I believe ESPN, and tried to renegotiate or open negotiation for a new deal. Nobody wanted to talk to them. Why? Because they already had a deal. And anyone who understands contract law knows that you have to have some leverage to get a deal reopened. And the Big 12 had no leverage. And Texas and Oklahoma knew that. And they knew that they were heading toward an iceberg. And remember, 12 years ago, Texas looked around as well. Texas was heading to the Pac-12. They claimed that there was more commonality among with the Pac-12, Stanford, Cal, UCLA, with their academic aspect. But it was really about they were sick of the Big 12. And they were taking most of the Big 12 with them, and then that thing blew up at the last minute. And, of course, Texas ended up, it may have been right on the cusp of that, negotiating its Longhorn deal with ESPN. But that wasn't helping them any longer. They'd made money, but college sports, was changing in front of their eyes. And I think instead of blaming Sankey, which is a very narrow argument, blame Bob Bowlesby. He was the commissioner of that Titanic ship. He was the one that was ineffective. He was the one who simply could not move the needle, and he got what he deserved. It was becoming a very bad league. They should have expanded earlier. They had a chance to take in Houston and UCF and Cincinnati a couple years ago, and they balked, and it ended up blowing up in their face. So now they have Cincinnati. Now they have UCF. Big deal. They lost Oklahoma and Texas. We're heading to a break. We will continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Love to hear from you. We've got a couple of guests the rest of the way, and we are coming back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're going to talk about Arch Manning and the recruitment in the final hour. He did an interview with On Three, the other day, and he was asked about the recruitment. He mentioned how much he likes Kirby Smart. He said, "I love Coach Kirby, and he's a real normal guy, a great coach." He also said that he felt very strongly about Athens. He said, "Athens is probably the best college town I've ever been to." I throw that out there because it's hard to argue with that. Now, I know everybody thinks their college town is the best, but he's not the only one who thinks Athens is the best college town in the country. We'll talk about that in a few minutes with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bill Bender joining us. Always great to check in with Bill from the Sporting News. We'll get his take on the world of college football and also the portal, which has finally ended, at least for the most part, with the May 1st deadline. Bill, good afternoon. What's going on?
I thought Arch was talking about Athens, Ohio, where Ohio
well,
University, my
too.
Alma mater, was. I thought for sure that's what he meant, Paul.
I know some people that would put Athens, Ohio, high on their list.
Absolutely. So what do you want to talk about? Portal? Top 25, it's all out there. There's so much going on, Paul, I can barely keep it straight.
Yeah, let's just recap the portal for a second, because there's so much activity, and I know that rankings get a little bit skewed, but in terms of real impact, who did the best?
Well, I mean, USC got some serious skill position talent. When you get Caleb Williams, when you get Oregon's leading rusher and Travis Dye, when Jordan Addison could be out there, depending on where he makes his decision. You know, and then SEC-wise, Alabama and Ole Miss. Ole Miss gets a quarterback in Jackson Dart, running back in Zachary Evans. Alabama got three starters. It's like the Los Angeles Dodgers almost. They're able to grab Jahmyr Gibbs, Jermaine Burton, Eli Ricks. I mean, that's how Alabama is able to use the portal to make themselves stronger.
Yeah, those are significant. In terms of Addison, let's put a capper on it with him. What's your best guess reading the tea leaves right now?
I mean, either USC, Texas, or Alabama, and all are good fits. I mean, if he goes to USC, he gives Lincoln Riley something he didn't have the last 2 years, a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, they had that with CeeDee Lamb, Marquise Walker at Oklahoma. They didn't have that the last 2 years. Alabama gets a ready-made Jameson Williams replacement. I forgot, Paul, that Jameson Williams didn't go to Alabama until May last year. He saw what he could do in a hurry, and then he would add another weapon to Texas if they brought him down to an offense that already has Bijan Robinson and some pretty decent quarterback play.
Bill Bender with us from the Sporting News. Bill, the NCAA and college sports got into the NIL game this week. Didn't seem like it went over very well with the critics. So how did you view that, and where are we with NIL?
Well, I mean, the terms get thrown around loosely. I'm guessing you've heard terms like Wild Wild West, toothpaste is out of the tube, those kind of things. It's just really hard to regulate now because they didn't regulate it off the go. So now you see everything ranging from high school athletes getting promised things in recruiting, probably athletes getting six-figure deals for not. And I think the imbalance for me is you're seeing NFL guys make less money in some cases than college athletes. And I don't know how you rectify that. I mean, obviously it's got the attention of the power brokers taken at the Congress, but I think we're a long way from regulation. They've got to put some stops on it. Otherwise, what if the market doesn't correct itself? That's the question I keep asking.
And I'm curious your view of the leaders going to Congress, of everyone pushing Congress, because there are so many pitfalls of doing that. And there's also a perception that even though the leaders talk about their deep and dying concern for the student athlete, it doesn't look like that's what they're doing if they're asking Congress to get involved, is it?
No, because it brings up that question of, well, these guys make this salary, why can't a student athlete do it? And I think we're venturing into that uncomfortable question at what point, Paul, does one, the Power Five schools, the 60, 65 best schools in college football, start to think about doing their own thing with the college football playoff, which Gene Smith had some comments about that last week, the Ohio State athletic director. And then two, you know, at what point do we do pay to play for the university? And what does that look like? And that's probably an uncomfortable conversation because there's more sports than football, even if football brings in the most money.
Bill, as you look ahead to this season, we know who's going to be the number one team. We can guess pretty accurately. I mean, is there somebody, I always hate to say we're not thinking of, because depending on where you are, every school is being talked about, but who is a likely surprise at the party this year?
Well, everybody's talking about USC right now in the Pac-12 because of all the reasons we already talked about, but I'm wondering if Utah isn't that Pac-12 sleeper, and people don't often talk about Kyle Whittingham this time of year, even though he's going into his 18th year. They played well in the Rose Bowl. They have both running backs back. They have Cameron Rising. He always has a strong defense. It's, for them, they've been in the playoff conversation before, but can they avoid that upset in November that keeps them out? I think they're one to watch. Otherwise, I mean, the best I can do for a sleeper for you, Paul, for the college football playoff is probably Clemson, and that's not very good sleeper.
By the way, that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard when you consider their track record in the past.
Well, I just think people are maybe pushing them off a little bit. When you have a 10-win season and people think it's a bad thing, I look at Clemson, they got desensitized by how good the quarterback play was with Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and then DJ Uiagalelei struggles against Georgia last year. And they've got three first-round picks coming back on that defense. They'll still be the best team in the ACC. I mean, 12-1 should get you in, and they're right there with Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, the usuals that are probably going to be there at the playoff push.
That's funny because you're right. What is their quarterback situation look like?
Well, I mean, DJ Uiagalelei showed up in the spring, apparently, you know, a little bit trimmer in shape, looking good. And they've got a freshman, Cade Klubnik, that everybody's going to be fascinated with. Five-star kid out of Texas from Westlake, I mean, or Lake Travis, big arm. And that's the thing. Clemson's had good quarterback play for a decade. If they put that back on that offense with the running game they have around it, I mean, I still look at them as the team to beat in the ACC. I don't know that anybody can touch them when they bring their A game. I mean, they beat Wake Forest last year, and they barely lost to NC State. It's not like they had this fall off the cliff.
A couple more moments with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Bill, in the SEC, you know, everyone is going to pick Alabama and Georgia to meet. Ole Miss had a big portal year. Some are really high on them. A&M, I think it just comes with the territory now. Who's after the top two?
Okay, so you kind of schooled me last year when I had Sam Pittman ranked too low in our coach rankings. So I'm not going to make that mistake again here in about a month. And I like what Arkansas has coming back. At the quarterback position with KJ Jefferson, good skill position talent. Played shot for shot with Alabama for a half. I don't know if they're good enough to do it every week, but, you know, what Sam Pittman's done there is pretty incredible. I think they'll be ranked most of the year. Good test with Cincinnati off the bat. They're kind of a team I'm watching. But if I had to pick somebody behind Alabama and Georgia, it'd probably be Texas A&M. I mean, if they get the right quarterback play and can do it every week, whether it's Mac Johnson or Haynes King, I think they'll be right there in that playoff conversation as well.
Bill Bender, always great stuff. Bill, many thanks. You take care of yourself.
Hey, you be good, Paul. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Great stuff with Bill. We'll talk about Arch Manning in a minute. I want to go back to something Arch said before we head to the break and get some reaction. And I asked the audience not just to say, I'm a Florida grad and there's nothing like going to Florida. I mean, that I get all that. But other than saying you can't use your own school, because we all would probably put our own school, but other than your favorite school, what campus blows you away? Because I think when Arch Manning is talking about the University of Georgia, he's not talking about the campus only. He's talking about Athens. So let me rephrase that. Which college town do you most like to go back to? There's so many obvious choices because of reputation, but I'm just talking about, I mean, I've never been to Athens in downtown campus where I didn't come away shaking my head. I didn't go to school there. I always feel that way about the school I went to. I mean, there's just so many embedded memories. But other than your own favorite team, I'm curious, what do you agree with Arch Manning? Is Athens the best college town in the SEC in the country, or are we missing one? Anyway, we will head to the break. A couple more guests to go. It's been a busy show. And I mentioned we'll talk to Saban and Kirby Smart tomorrow. We talked to them yesterday at the golf tournament, so we'll recap those interviews and show you what they had to say. We're coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we continue here on a Thursday, so many issues, and I know sometimes we almost start to drown in all the issues outside of the game. And I was thinking yesterday, I mentioned being at the golf tournament talking to the coaches at the Pro-Am, that I spoke to several basketball coaches, three or four head football coaches, and at least two different athletic directors. And I kid you not, I think I asked the same question to every single one of them about NIL, and I wonder if we haven't lost sight. I know that ultimately it is the story of the moment. Yeah, but I also wonder this. Do fans really care? Do you care if your team tampers? Do you really care if your team cheats? Do you care that your players are making money? Or do you only care about what happens on Saturday? And I've heard from fans countless times over the years when their program goes on probation, and they always say at the front end, well, if we did it, we need to take our medicine. But nobody believes that anymore, because there is no faith any longer in the NCAA. It used to be an organization that a school lived in fear of. It used to be an organization that You cringed. You held your breath when the organization looked into you. I remember as a young investigative reporter, and you would call the NCAA and try to get some information on whether or not they were investigating a particular school. Now you just go out and hire the best lawyers your school can afford and fight them. It's like everything else in the world. The reality is whatever you make it. It's a little bit like politics, where it's absolute. There's no bipartisanship. There's no, well, let's try to meet in the middle. It's, I'm going to try to destroy your guy, and you're going to try to destroy mine or woman. And in college football, it's like that. Nick Saban yesterday with the tampering situation. We don't tamper. I don't know. I feel pretty comfortable that Nick Saban does not tamper. No. Nick Saban is not on the phone trying to reel in the player from Louisville. But that doesn't mean someone else isn't representing, you know, indirectly Alabama. How do you – every player just doesn't call you up. Now, who told me yesterday? I'm trying to remember. I think it was Kirby Smart told me that – he said, I hear from players a lot. Remember, these coaches know players. They've all recruited the top players. He said, but it's awkward. All of a sudden you get a call or a text from a guy who may be somewhere else. What are you supposed to do? Yes, you're supposed to make sure that there is plausible deniability, but you're also going after the player. And this is where we are. And I'm not saying we haven't been at this place for a long time, but it's all about winning. We are talking about a very big business here. We're not talking about participation trophies. And if you don't win, you get fired. It's as simple as that. So what do you do? Do you venture into the gray areas? We heard from, who was it earlier today on the show? McCullough from the LA Times, who talked about several schools in the Pac-12. They're not doing collectives. They're not getting involved because they don't. He said, I think Washington and a couple of other schools, they don't even go in the gray area. So I ask you, does it matter to you? Are we to the point where it is professional football, that it really doesn't matter whether your school cheats or not, and the variation of what they're doing? And I'm not suggesting, because I don't have any personal information, but I do think we're at a point where the coaches are only reacting out of necessity. I don't think any coach that I know, especially those in the SEC, which I know best, roll out of bed in the morning trying to figure out a way to cheat. They don't. What they're trying to figure out is how to gain a legitimate competitive advantage. They're not trying to completely gin the system. They're just trying to outdo the next person. And right now, everyone is looking for – it's like back in NASCAR. I used to cover NASCAR back in the day, and there was this big issue over these restrictor plates. And it was all about legally finding a way to go over that line long enough so you wouldn't get caught. Is that cheating? Well, sure it is. If you're breaking the spirit of the law, you can have a healthy conversation whether it's cheating or not. But in college football right now, is it cheating that boosters are involved? Well, it's debatable, but it's also a necessity. Are these collectives good? My argument against the collectives is that there's nothing sustainable about it. You know, when alumni and boosters give money to a school for scholarships, at least there's some benefit. I mean, this is just literally throwing money in a bidding war to get a player away from somewhere else. It's not about the money doesn't go anywhere. It's not like if your uncle maybe had a few bucks and he left some money to the university. That at least is going to a chair. That at least is going to a building. That at least is going maybe to help some student who doesn't have the means, I benefited as a student from aid, and it made a big difference in my life because I didn't have the money. A lot of us don't, but now the money, the collective money, it's just pure competition. But is there anything wrong with that? No. If you don't do it, I mean, if you don't do that right now, you're going to lose. And even if you do it, you may not do well enough. Anyway, we're out of time. A couple more guests to go. More of your phone calls, 855-242-7285, and we are back after this.